Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, and with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and thanks for being here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am so good. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. I am glad both of you are here. We might as well just jump right into all the stuff we need to talk about. And we'll start with Apple's earnings report from yesterday, which I'm sure is not a surprise to anyone that we're talking about that.
When you say jump right in, what you mean is jump right into Scrooge McDuck's vat full of money and go swimming?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because when you say jump in and earnings, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Right. So for those of you that didn't have the opportunity to see what Apple's numbers were from their first fiscal quarter earnings report, $75.9 billion in revenue.
Boatload of money.
Yes.
Hold your pinky to the corner of your mouth when you say that number.
Oh, right, because it is a video show. $18.4 billion in earnings, which I believe is the largest quarterly earnings a company has ever reported.
Yes. Any company ever. Not just Apple, not just
Exxon.
Yeah, like not just Apple, not just Fortune 500, none of those things. This is the best any company ever reported in the history of reporting.
And it brings their cash on hand and marketable securities to a total of $215 billion, of which $200 is overseas.
Okay.
Right. That's a lot of money.
That's all the money.
Yes, that's all the money. Okay, so we have some more numbers we can throw out. Let's see. 16.12 million iPads sold. 5.3 million Macs sold, 74.8 million iPhones.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be too surprised by the iPad number. I was looking at the bar chart, and it was quarter one. It was the holiday season, so you would expect that people would be buying iPads at Christmas time. Plus, we had the iPad Pro thrown into the mix. Mm-hmm. Tim and Luca didn't talk about the percentage representation of the iPad Pro. I wish an analyst had asked about that. But between the two of them, iPad sales went from what was a 9 million last quarter up to 16 million. Mm-hmm. They didn't seek to comment on it because there was no pat on the back necessary because it was the Christmas quarter.
Right. My favorite number, I think, from yesterday is because I have the little spreadsheet that I put together of what that many iPhones is per hour, per day. And then if you think about, and that's like every second of every day for 24 full hours. And so I usually double that number and say, you know, what if Apple stores are only open 12 hours a day, even though it's usually a lot less than that. So I like to sort of play with those kind of numbers. And the one that I got from yesterday was that Apple sold 34,000 iPhones per hour.
Every hour for 13 weeks.
Every hour of every day. So 3 a.m. Sunday, 34,000 iPhones. 9 a.m. Black Friday, 34,000 iPhones. Like, when you think about it in those terms of every day, selling 20 iPhones to every single person in the town where I grew up is bananas.
And of course, if we move all that production capacity to the United States, we'll be able to achieve that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course, naturally. Yeah.
All right. And for those of you that don't get what John is talking about, Donald Trump, who is hoping to be the Republican candidate for president, has said that if he becomes president, that he's going to force companies to produce their products in the United States, and singled out Apple and said he would have them make their computers and the other stuff in the United States.
Yeah, he was a little more colorful than that. But yeah, it comes down to him not knowing anything about Apple because the Mac Pro is already made here, which is a story for another day.
Yes, it is.
But I think to me, what was really interesting about this is that I remember doing these sorts of numbers, in quarters past, And so that's why I have a spreadsheet that like has all the calculations in it for me. And all I do is fill in whatever the numbers are that they give us during the earnings call. And then bam, I get all this data. And that is, to me, watching that number climb over time has been really impressive. And particularly when you think about, that's how many they are selling every day. So think about a factory that can make 34,000 of anything in a day, because I can't even imagine what that would be like. And they have to do more than that, because obviously now they have them in a store where you can walk in and buy one and walk out with it.
Maybe paper clips.
Maybe. But like, as a number,
maybe,
maybe as a number, it's a crazy number. I think it's what the kids call cray cray. It's a cray cray number of things to output from a factory in any period. And so, to me, that's sort of the interesting piece of this, is that if you think about it, it comes out to something like 800,000 iPhones a day have to be built in order for them to sell 34,000 every hour. So 800,000 in a day, I think that might even put your paperclips to shame, John.
And it's not just paperclips, but it's the best smartphone on the planet. High quality, beautifully boxed.
And
excellent parts and materials and craftsmanship. That's the astounding part too.
Well, to me, as a manufacturer, like, this is a really amazing thing to be doing, regardless of how many of them you actually sell, to have this kind of output and not have, you know, hundreds of thousands of them recalled. You know, I mean, think about all the other stuff in the world where it gets recalled. You know, there's cars and there's child car seats and there's, you know, plates and, you know, weird stuff that goes into water bottles or whatever. Like, there's been recalls left, right, and center on like everything. And the only one I remember that had anything to do with Apple was the old iPhone charger, the little baby square one.
Oh, right. They had to reissue him the little green dot.
You had to trade him in for the one that had the dot on it. And I just use my iPad charger for everything now because it totally works and everything's faster and I only have to carry one. But I had to make sure all mine had green dots on them. And like, that's the only time it was an issue. And I think it was Apple going, we think this might be a problem. And so they like preemptively let everybody trade those in. So to me, the manufacturing piece of this is what's so amazing. Like, yeah, aside from the fact that the sales are crazy.
I've had iPhone since square one, and I think there was one iPhone 3G that failed on me, and I took it in and got it replaced. Mm-hmm. But every other iPhone I've had has been perfect out of the box.
I'm total opposite side. Every iPhone I've ever had has been replaced by Apple, except for the one that I'm currently using, my iPhone 6S.
But it's early.
Yeah, typically by this point in the game, I would have a new iPhone in my hand. I mean, seriously, every single iPhone I've had, Apple has replaced.
What typically goes wrong? Is it something like the screen is always bad, or is it the mixture of things?
It's been different things for each iPhone. In some cases, there's like a weird hardware failure, like the dock port would be defective. I've had screens delaminating. In my iPhone 6, actually, the iPhone 6 got replaced twice because it was doing the thing where it got bubbles under the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Then I also had the Crescent Moon camera issue.
Lens issue, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
But doing 34,000 an hour and having the quality they have is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out so that I can contrast your near perfect record with iPhone.
I have good luck in that regard. I've never had a bad Mac. I don't know how I do it. I'm charmed.
I've had several Macs that have gone in for service and even ultimately getting replaced.
I remember
Apple's been really good about it.
I had a 2009. No, one was it? Was a Power Mac G5. I think that was under Apple Care, and the motherboard failed. And I took it back in, and they replaced the entire motherboard and CPU, and it came to $1,000 and AppleCare covered it, and I walked out no charge.
See, that's an awesome thing right there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so Apple had crazy numbers, best numbers of any company ever. And yet the media has been like, oh, Apple's doomed.
Yes.
Well, there's some reason for that. I take it from the discussion yesterday that the expectation is that quarter 2016 won't have as many iPhone sales as quarter 2015 did. We don't know how many Apple will sell in quarter 2016, but there were some signs and some hedging from Tim Cook and thoughts that maybe because of the macroeconomic downturn in the world that Apple won't be able to sell as many in quarter two as they sold last year. And Tim Cook said, yeah, it was a tough compare from last year. So that's got analysts a little edgy, I think.
Well, but we're also talking at this point about unknown unknowns.
Yes.
And part of what makes that unknown is that... And this is a thing I think we are going to continue to see for some time, for another six or eight of these calls, is people who are on a 2-year contract and upgrade the second the contract is up and it will allow them to upgrade. That isn't October for everybody. Like, some people have gotten smart and like waited, you know, a few months in order to be able to get in on 0 day on the phone they want from Apple. But some people haven't, and some people are still the real casual folks. And so I think we're still going to get the wave of people who are out from under contract who just can't wait to take a Harry Potter picture. And those are the people who are out there getting phones now. And I think that that's going to continue until enough people get on the payment plan or get on Next or Jump or whatever else they call the plan where you can upgrade every 12 months instead of every 24. And it's still going to sort of stagger people out so that the free world is not stampeding to Apple, even though it seems that way every October, the minute the new phone is available. So I think there's a certain amount of that we have to sort of factor in. And at this point, it doesn't... I think the reason people are so worked up about it is because there's basically never been a decline in iPhone sales.
You bring up a good point, Kelly. You know, the leap from the iPhone 5S to the 6 was dramatic. I don't know whether it was the numerology or whether it was the features of the phone, but we seem to have certain phones that are blessed and people decide, you know, this is the time to upgrade. Something stands out, something's cool about it. And some phones don't have that magic. And so there was a big demand for the iPhone 6 when it came out a year ago, and it bled into the second quarter of 15.
Because it was that screen, I think. I mean, everybody listened to the tech press holler forever about bigger phone, bigger phone, bigger phone, bigger phone. And so Apple said, Apple said, we have to bleep him now, don't we, Jeff?
Yes, because you use the P word.
I use the word fablet.
Oh, stop doing that. Burns.
Oh, he's going to have to edit.
Stop doing that.
So, John, you need to remember, I know where you live.
And so can get there.
Success. We didn't have that dramatic change in the size. And so.
No, it was the screen size, I think, was first, and then Apple Pay. I mean, because remember, I was on the 5S. And so getting to go to the 6S this year, this last fall, made me very excited. And like the first thing I did once my phone was officially activated was set up my cards in Apple Pay. And then I went to Walgreens. That was like the first thing I did after I took a bunch of goofball live photos to play fun with live photos. I went to Walgreens so I could buy stuff.
You know, what's funny about Apple Pay is the magic has not gone away. Every time I use Apple Pay with my watch, for example, either the person behind me or the checkout clerk watches me do this with big eyes and they go, wow, that's so cool. The magic is still there.
Well, and I think it's going to continue to be there until it's not special anymore, until I don't have to go into places and go, can I wave my phone at this thing yet? And have them go, no, sorry. Or sometimes go, why would you want to do that? It's not secure, or whatever it is, you know, that's the reaction. So until that becomes more the rule than the exception, it's still going to be exciting. And even though, even when I can, I'm still going to be excited about it.
Yeah. What's causing this continuing excitement still is that I think the EMV consortium has given some corporations some extra time. We know we had the October 1st cutoff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the merchants I've talked to said, no, we're still working on it. We're still debugging it. And we've been given more time. And so a lot of people are still using their magnetic strips.
Yep. I have to do that a lot of places.
Yeah. I still can't even use the chip in my card in most places anymore. Like, they have the slot, but there's a little piece of plastic over it, so I can't even...
Walmart switched over pretty early. I know I was doing that last year.
Really?
Macy's has finally got the chip readers.
Yeah.
Huh.
Walmart was the first company I ever used a chip card on. Congratulations.
Wow. All right. So there's more I want to talk about. So, but before we move on, I want to point out that we aren't dealing with a scenario where Apple isn't selling more iPhones. They're selling not as many more iPhones, but they're still selling more iPhones.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So as long as we're on the whole iPhone thing, we might as well just kind of stick there right now.
Okay.
The other thing that I think would be kind of fun to talk about, there's a report out from KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chi Kao, and he says that that his sources are telling him that Apple is going to do a dual camera system on the iPhone 7 Plus. And by dual camera, I don't mean like what we have now where there's a front and a rear camera. There'll still be a front camera, but there'll be two rear cameras on the 7 Plus. And so one will give you your narrower field of view. The other will give you the wider field of view. One will have the optical image stabilization built in, and the other will have an optical zoom, which we've never had on an iPhone before. And it's supposed to use the technology that Apple acquired when they bought Lynx last year, and it's LINX. And it's, that's a company that was working on phone camera technologies, where they had a system that they claimed would give you SLR quality photographs off of a smartphone camera.
Jeff, you mentioned we've never had an iPhone with an optical zoom. Do you want to explain to the readers real quickly the difference between optical zoom and digital zoom?
Sure, I can totally do that. So with an optical zoom, you have lenses, and by changing the position of the lenses, you can magnify whatever it is that you're going to photograph. So you are literally magnifying the image before you snap the photograph.
By adjusting the position of the glass in relation to itself, this is also like focus when you have an SLR lens and you move the ring around the outside to pull things in and out of focus. That's part of what that is.
The key is that you maintain good resolution as opposed to digital zoom, which Jeff will explain now.
Sure. So what digital zoom does is it looks at whatever part of the image that you want to have bigger, and then it just kind of blows up the pixels. So it's, if you are using an application like Photoshop or even Photos, and there's that part of the image that you want to have in just that one part, and you do the little box around it, and then it gets bigger, the image gets bigger, but that's all you see. That's all you're doing. You are pre-cropping an image, and you're not really doing a zoom.
One way to think of this is in TV shows where they have a surveillance camera and it's got a fuzzy license plate, and that's all the camera can do. And they do a digital zoom or some sort of fancy stuff and blow it up, and suddenly the image gets crisper and they're able to read the license plate. That doesn't work in reality, because a digital zoom and blowing it up doesn't give you more resolution.
It's basically the opposite.
Yeah, right. Just makes it bigger.
So here's my tip for iPhone photographers. You know how you do the pinch to zoom thing and then take a photo so you've got just the part you want? Don't.
Stop doing it.
Instead, take the photograph that has that focuses on what you want. And then once you've got the photograph, then you can crop from there. You have more image data to work with when you do that, as opposed to just doing the zoom, you've already thrown away all the data that all that extra data that's going to give you a better looking image.
Nice tip.
Nice tip. And I just realized we're like out of time.
Oh no.
Already.
That went fast.
It did go fast. So we should wrap up. What do you guys think? Is Apple going to do the dual camera thing this year?
I don't know.
I can't believe anything out of KGI, to be honest, because this guy has come out and said crazy crap for like 3 or 4 iPhone cycles now. And none of the stuff he ever says is ever right. So I have a hard time believing this one just for that reason. Like, if I was Apple, I would pull those plans off the table right now to spite him.
Well, remember, it's iPhone 7, and 7 is a magic number. And if you're going to get people interested again in the coolness of the phone, the 7 number is a magical place to add something cool like that and get people excited about their camera.
But there's all kinds of other stuff that Apple is probably thinking about right now and building prototypes of that's so much better.
Well, pour it on, you know. I can't wait for the iPhone 7.
You know, I can't wait for the iPhone 7. I think he's right.
Cordless charging. It could be just a matter of, you know, this whole is greater than the sum of the parts. If you get some magical elements, you get cordless charging and this dual lens camera and maybe something else, you could suddenly, you know, really accelerate iPhone sales in a way that you couldn't have predicted.
Yep, totally possible. I think we're going to get the dual camera thing. I think he's right. And I think it's going to be limited to the iPhone 7 Plus. So those of us that really, really don't want the big screen.
Oh, you mean the phablet?
I hate you. Yeah. So anyhow, I won't get to take advantage of the new dual camera system because I'm not going to get the bigger iPhone. And on that note, we are like totally out of time. So, okay. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course.
And John, despite your technical potty mouth, thank you for being here too. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And I'm curious, do you think Apple is going to do the dual camera thing on the iPhone 7 Plus? Let me know. You can share your thoughts with me on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails, observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thanks for joining us again today. We'll see you tomorrow.